Can you hear us?
I can. How are you?
Doing well. Okay, so
we'll sorry to be late.
No worries. We're going to go ahead and get started. It's a light agenda. So may we go ahead and start with roll call. So those here in the room? Priscilla, maybe you can start.
Sorry.
Just roll call.
Oh, Araceli Guevara.
O'Brien again.
Yeah, okay.
Derek Tocco, staff.
Sherry Marino, staff.
And in the audience?
Sharon Snow.
Sharon Snow.
And then Janelle Boplin.
So we got Janelle Goplin and Robert Emmond. Who else do we have online?
Donald Valentine City.
Thank you. And Doretta Smith. Fantastic.
Here.
All right, next up we have approval of the minutes from the January 17th advisory committee.
I reviewed the minutes. The new minutes, the abbreviated form. And they appeared to be correct, so I would recommend that we put a motion forward to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, minutes have been adopted. Next up on the agenda, update on implementation of the Bayfront meter permit program. As you know, you haven't seen any meters out there yet. And the reason for that has to do with our rollout of our security cameras. As I noted in the memo, our IT folks are looking to do a networked array of security cameras so that each of the pay stations, which are like mini ATVs with coins, have eyes on them 24/7 in the event that they get, you know, vandalized or broken into in some manner. And their plan of attack had relied upon utilizing wooden PUD poles in the middle of that networked array, and PUD could not accommodate. It took them a while to get that sorted out, but that was ultimately the answer. It's not a blame thing. They have an obligation to accommodate other users on those poles too, and they just couldn't make it work on the wooden ones. And so our IT staff's initial thoughts that we're gonna have to drop a couple of poles ourselves, and they're working with Public Works on that so that we can get the middle part of that networked array up and operational. We have all of the cameras, so they're ready to go. It's just a matter of getting that middle piece taken care of. I'm not gonna dive into the details, but our IT staff does have a workaround if we have further delays on getting those poles in. So I would expect that the pay stations will go in within the next 2 weeks at this point, certainly before the 1st of April. And that's an important date because that's when everybody who has e-permits is gonna get automatic email saying the four, you know, the actual paid permits are available for purchase. Our public works staff has all of the posts up that they need, and so they're ready to go. They need 3 days. They might be able to get it done in two, but definitely 3 days to get all of the new regulatory signs and the pay stations up. And then we will be doing testing with our to make sure all of the pay stations are communicating appropriately as they go up, that the text to park is operating appropriately by zone as those text to park signs go up. We've tested all the stuff already, so it should all be operational. But things happen sometimes when you're actually going through the physical install process, and so we'll just stay on top of it. They're also going to be installing the parking locational signs, these guys. And so, you know, it's the common green sign you see, you know, everywhere, but it also identifies each lot. So that's gonna be helpful for folks, you know, I would think, when they're identifying where they wanna park or what kind of permit they want. I'm gonna be meeting with our IT staff next week to further improve our web presence, so that as we get closer to when people are coming in to get paid permits, the site's a little bit more intuitive. Right now, some folks are having some difficulty, understandably having some difficulty finding information. We're gonna try to make that a little bit clearer for folks. Had a good article today in the Lincoln County Leader, where Steve Card did a good job of reminding folks this is coming. And we've had a lot of conversations with folks as part of this slow rollout that we've been doing. With the courtesy e-permits, we're now at 498. Again, 2021, I think, at this point, our commercial fishing. We have a meeting set up with the commercial fishing users group on the 18th of April at 9 a.m. And we'll hold it here at City Hall. Aaron really preferred that it be here at City Hall to provide some separation from the port and to help people understand the difference between this program, which is a city program, and the port's parking on the port lots, because there's still a fair amount of confusion about that. And
there has been quite a bit of confusion on that.
And so we'll try to use that our time with the commercial fishing, you know, vessel owners and operators to further clarify that hey, look, we're talking about with this program public rights of way, public lots that are owned, controlled by the city, Port of Newport, different program.
Are we planning as we get closer to the rollout? Mm-hmm. I didn't see the newspaper today, but to have local citizen meetings here are open to discuss it. I know we've had a lot of meetings, but I'm still talking to people who are clueless that we're even doing this.
There are several.
We do not have further outreach meetings set up. What we do have, you know, is, you know, we will be pushing information out to businesses on the bayfront and commercial fishing owners and operators, advising them of the upcoming changes. We've been meeting with a lot of people one-on-one, Bill, and that seems to work well. My concern, frankly, if we do a group meeting right when we do the launches, it's just going to be a gripe session, and it won't be all that productive. That's my concern.
Well, I would agree, but I mean, at least then people have a chance to say, you know, I get my 3 minutes to gripe up here, or maybe we could cut it down to 2 minutes to carry on and, you know, potentially get it out of their system.
Right. You know, I mean, you've had a chance, you know, you've had a chance where a few folks have come in and, you know, here at the parking advisory committee meetings and shared their thoughts. You know, we haven't had, you know, large volumes of people, you know, who don't understand why this is being done. I mean, and are upset that this is being done. I think most everybody that we talk to recognizes that we need to better manage parking on the bayfront. Now, once you get past that question, there are plenty of folks who believe that that should not involve paid parking.
Right.
And that the city should somehow otherwise manage it. But nobody's arguing that, hey, everything's hunky-dory on the bayfront in terms of parking conditions. So, you know, I can reach out to the fish plant managers to offer us up for another meeting at their place. That often works a little better, you know, with particularly the shift work folks. It seems as if we could go there, you know, and catch them, you know, while they're available, as opposed to lining up something here at night or during the day, which I'm happy to do. Have done that already. And can do that again.
I had a phone conversation with one of the upper management at Pacific Seafoods. They called me.
Yeah.
We talked for a long time about it, and he's like, well, we weren't even aware of this. I was just still even blew my mind, but because we've had so much discussion about this with them, you know. Anyway, that kind of caught me off guard. But anyway, going on, I explained to him why we're doing this, what's going on. He agreed with everything, pretty much. Why we're doing it, why the reason behind it, you know. But he wanted to know what was going on, which is still. Like I told him, we've been working this for 10 years. And I mean, we've been a lot of communication here. So, you know.
And, you know, just so you know, I've had productive conversations with State Fish and Wildlife. They were trying to see, you know, trying to argue that they should have exemption. I explained to them, no, we're not exempt.
I read that letter.
You know, the I think Coast Guard also is kind of, you know, I think Coast Guard just wants to better understand the program. They have their own parking lot, so I don't know that they really have as much of a, you know, they're impacted that much, frankly. You know, for Fish and Wildlife, I had to explain to their staff and their administrator that, hey, look, you know, you're no different than a commercial fishing operator. You know, we're not going to exempt you, for using parking spaces when others like commercial fishing operators have to pay to use that space.
The Coast Guard might also just be curious so that they can be informational and helpful since they're right there.
Right. I think Coast Guard's just trying to get up to speed really with that. And I don't know that they're really all that impacted given they have ample parking on their own property.
Is Hatfield and the aquarium, are they up to speed on all of this? I mean, we have a lot of visitors and a lot of locals that either volunteer or work there.
You know, in terms of, you know, the broader public, I mean, it's probably a mixed bag. Certainly those that, like Fish and Wildlife that are based and have staff down at Hatfield, but actually spend time on the bayfront as part of their job. Yeah, they're well informed at this point.
You know, on the other committee that I'm on, that Discover Newport committee, Jeremy Burke is on that committee now too, and he's the marketing person for the aquarium. Mm-hmm. So it would be probably good to just maybe put in some kind of promotional email of theirs. I'll do it for our businesses, but, you know, just kind of an overview. Or some kind of commentary on it.
Yeah, well, the aquarium has probably 100+ volunteers, all of whom obviously are local. And, you know, when they have their volunteer meetings, which they have literally every day when they have a new shift come in, if their volunteer coordinator could bring it up just to remind the locals what's going on, that might help spread the word out there. So that was a good thought, Janelle.
Oh, John Meany wants in. Just a second. He's at the door. He just texted me. Ah. I couldn't tell it was him. He was waving at me.
So we reach out to the chamber and the aquarium. And, you know, ask that they, once we get closer to the actual, hey, here's the exact day this stuff is going up, we'll let them know.
He's not there. I'll text him back to come back.
Oh. All right, Sherry's going to wait, I think, out there for him.
Call him.
Any other comments or thoughts relative to the implementation at this point?
Yeah, come on back. I didn't recognize it was you. I thought it was some bum trying to get in. All right. Yeah, come back.
It's open now.
No, we're just getting started.
Oh, had it auto-locked?
Yeah, I got to talk to
All right, Sharon's here too. Okay, bye.
That's why my phone was just vibrating.
Well, he was sitting there waving at me. I didn't recognize him for some reason, and I couldn't tell who it was, and anyway.
Okay, the next item on the agenda has to do with goals for the upcoming year. I included our council's goals for the upcoming year. There were one specifically, you know, they have about continuing to implement the recommendations of the parking study with an expectation that once we get, you know, we get everything tied up here with the Bayfront, we turn our attention to Nye Beach and that discussion.
What's that? Sorry.
And so in the council goals, which I included in your packet for the upcoming fiscal year, they want us, you know, they're interested in seeing us continuing to implement the recommendations of the parking study with Nye Beach becoming more the focus of a discussion than the Bayfront. And that's not to say we're not gonna have continued discussions as we work through full implementation on the Bayfront. There will be things we need to talk about, but I would we will, as staff, look to position a shift to the focus a little bit more towards Nye Beach in the upcoming fiscal year.
Hey, Gary.
Is he there?
Will you be continuously giving us details or updates about the progress and the actual, you know, income from the meters?
Yes, we can absolutely do that. Janelle, what specifically would you like to us to bring forward as this moves along? Just revenues?
I think it'd be interesting to review the number of people parking and in what areas and which metered areas are the most popular. Okay. You know, just kind of a heat map of the parking.
Heat map? How it's beginning to influence parking behavior?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Just jotting down some notes. No, that we can absolutely do that. It may take a month or two for us to have enough that it makes any sense, but we can do that. At some point, they'll want to also begin a discussion about what can be done to enhance transit service in the Bayfront, Nye Beach, and some other areas. But that's a lower priority. Any comments on that? And what I can also bring to your next meeting the draft budget for the parking fund, so you can kind of see what some of the expectations are and how that's being structured moving forward as we have that parking demand program in place in the Bayfront and begin to talk with the Nye Beach folks about what's best to do there. Next up was, unless there's any other comments on goals. And I guess before
question.
I stop that, are there things specifically as a committee you would like to make sure we tackle as we move into the upcoming fiscal year? Because I still have an opportunity to tweak that budget if we need to, you know, put some funds for certain activities. So what... Are there anything, or is there anything specific that you as a committee want to make sure we tackle this upcoming fiscal year?
Roger.
Or is this a direction you're generally comfortable with? Just looking for some feedback.
I'd like to see if we could get some more handicap spaces, if that's possible. That's my...
Yeah, but we did say that, you know, for people that have handicap placards, they wouldn't have to pay,
right?
But it's not a space; it could be anywhere.
Yeah,
but for those people that, you know, need a van to get in and out of spaces.
That's what we have. We have a van, and our daughter. We have to have a spot.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
And we're limited, even with the redoing. We're still pretty limited for the amount of area that we have, the amount of people. I mean. But Ripley's, they have one, but you can't, a handicap spot that's up against the curb. You can't even get it, can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't, it's impossible to use for a van. And then even if you can, you can't get down all the stairs. So it's basically pretty much a worthless spot, you know. But that has nothing to do with the city.
Mm-hmm.
Can I send you some ideas of my own, Derek, in an email? I'm sorry, but I'm boarding now, so I do have to get off. Is that going to ruin the quorum?
No, we're okay with Doretta. We'll be all right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, follow thank up via you. Email. That'd be perfect. Thank you, Janelle.
Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend, guys.
Where are you flying to?
Oh, Mr.
Someplace warm. That'd be my guess.
Derek, this is Robert.
Yeah.
Quick question about what's the plan for getting the extra people on the committee? Where are we at with that?
I think, you know, once we wrap up, we could probably start advertising that pretty soon. It's a good point. We could probably get advertisements out in April and run that advertisement for a bit and see if we can get some interest. Because we do have a number of vacancies for a while. That's a good point.
Huh?
No, Robert's point's a good point. We need to get the advertisements going on that. And particularly we have a couple of Knight Beach vacancies, and as we turn our attention to Knight Beach, I think we're going to want to make sure folks in the Knight Beach area who might be interested have an opportunity to get on board, and you know, as we really start to dive into that discussion.
Maybe the mayor can help us with Knight Beach.
Mayor?
Since he's also the...
he's a council liaison alternate on this committee.
And he's the head of the Knight Beach Neighbors.
Right. We have talked at the Knight Beach Neighbors. I'm a member as well. And we have a couple of people, I think, who are either planning on signing up or who have already submitted through the website. That's why I'm just curious. And we'll get the word out again that there's going to be a push to get more people to sign up.
Good.
All right. I'll send a note out to the group when we have the advertisements out, so you know when it's out, and then you can just direct folks to it.
Great, thanks.
Any other comments on goals for the upcoming year? Gary, did you have any specific thoughts in terms of locations where ADA spaces could potentially be added?
Well, in Ripley's area, because okay. That one upstairs doesn't work, we could... I'd like to look. I'd like to see a map with all of them.
If a specific discussion about
ADA.
Okay.
I know it's light.
It is. Just want to let you know, I did have a recent discussion with a developer who's going to be constructing the hotel on the west end of the Bayfront.
Yeah.
And that project is moving forward. I actually had an email from his design consultant today, so they're slowly advancing the design. They still intend to construct in 25. That's their target.
What's their time frame?
Well, they would like to get themselves positioned so that they could go under construction summer of 25.
25.
Right. Construction financing is not easy on that front right now, so...
No,
you know,
interest rates are too high.
They're chipping away at the design components they know they need to address, and that's their
schedule. How many parking spaces are they going to provide of their own?
90-something.
Well, they're providing 43 off-street spaces.
43?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they putting those?
They're going to put them on the ground floor behind... commercial space, which is going to front Bay Boulevard. So on the first floor, what you'll have is you'll have about a little over 2,000 square feet of commercial fronting Bay Boulevard, but it's not particularly deep. And so that's what you're going to see as you walk or drive along Bay Boulevard. But if you pull in, the whole back part of that, behind that, underneath the hotel,
right,
will be parking.
Parking, okay.
And so I believe it was 43 spaces.
It's not a very wide piece of ground.
It's like a looped parking area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they only have, 47 rooms or something like that?
Yeah.
So they almost have a one-to-one, but not quite. But then all that space where in front of, you know, that's obviously parking too, because there's nobody there at the moment.
I did want to mention to you that I...
But that's metered.
Yeah, it'll be metered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, but remember, it's metered from 11 to 7.
Okay.
So, if you know, we're all familiar with hotels. A lot of folks are out of there before 11 a.m., and they may not park there until after 7.
Yeah.
So they'll have that, you know, as available parking. I will be meeting one-on-one to kind of work through the program for on the Bayfront. I forgot to mention this. With our one existing remaining charter down there. Remember, they have day permits that we had set up along with a QR code that they can have in their office for folks who are coming in for charter trips. So I'll be walking them through that because they're a little different than some of the others. But we had had lengthy discussions about this stuff a while ago. So they know that, and we've been in communication, so I think we're in a good place on that front. The last item we had on the agenda was loading zone needs and issues along the Bayfront. We'll bring this back as a more formal item, and I'll have Justin or Travis from our Public Works staff participate in that discussion, because as the weather gets better, we're going to start looking to do restriping, and there are some changes that have been asked of us in terms of loading zones down on the Bayfront, and there's some that development is driving, and you may have some thoughts as well. So I just want to put on here as an agenda item, just if there's anything specific you'd like us to look at or you're thinking about.
For loading zones?
Yeah, loading zones.
Probably talk to these guys here a bit more about that. On that. Mm-hmm. They probably have concerns on that.
What about the fishermen loading zones?
Well, we have the one right. We have the one right there by 3. That's staying.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and then there's the one at 5. That's staying.
Yeah, the
and we have a pier you could drive out on the off road.
Right, you have a pier.
The ones that we know we're going to need to make some adjustments are over by Bornstein and Webster on the west end, because of some of the development that Steve Webster's been doing.
Right.
And changes to where, might even be Pacific as well down there in terms of driveway approach changes down there that we need to make some adjustment to. You saw the email from Geno's.
Yeah.
On the K Street right away.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else?
I thought it was a reasonable request. I really don't have another option, really.
It's not, you know, I've eaten lunch there a lot. It's not a very good parking spot anyway.
No, it's not. It's tucked up right on the slope.
I don't think my truck will even go in there, so it's a terrible spot anyway.
But did anybody have any comments on that? We'll bring it back as a formal discussion with MAPS at a future meeting so you can take a look at it and kind of work through that. And just a heads up, with respect to the Nye Beach discussion as we move forward, the commitment there had been to really look at a paid parking permit program almost exclusively there, given the mixed residential commercial components down there. And so that's what we've budgeted for. So it would basically be, so the budget's not anywhere near what it was on the Bayfront, because we're dealing with pay stations and stuff down on the Bayfront. With Nye Beach, we can leverage the existing e-permitting software we've already acquired, and so the bulk of the cost will be just striping and signage on Nye Beach as we work through what that's supposed to look like. Okay, that's all we had on the formal agenda. Like I said, it wasn't a lengthy one, but we didn't meet last month, and I just wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to hear from us and ask questions, particularly about the Bayfront rollout, because we got delayed because of the security camera challenges in getting those rolled out.
Well, I think these guys got some concerns.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, questions. I'll try, and they're related questions. So
sure.
You answered one of them. You said that everyone's who has a courtesy permit will get an email probably mm-hmm. around the first of the month saying
yep.
it's time to buy your permit.
Yep.
So if, for what you're saying, there's 490 courtesy permits have been issued, but there's only 422 permits available.
So, Sharon, excellent question. So if you have the map, and that map, I'm going to show you the one I'm referring
yeah.
to. It's the color guy here. Yeah, the, you have the large version there, yeah. What you'll see is the 422 is the number of stalls in the permit zones. We're going to make a little bit more than a one-to-one available in terms of e-permits, and that's e-permits available by zone on this map. That's 475. And that can be adjusted, but that would be a discussion with the advisory committee. But that's the initial allotment's going to line up with. So zone A will have 115, zone B 110, zone C 140, and zone D 110. So you're right. We're at 498, but 475 right now is through the standard e-permit that's going to be capped. Now, what we had talked about on the commercial fishing side is we were not capping the number of those, but they are zone limited.
Right.
So they're only effective in zones B and D on the east side. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
That's my question. How will it play out if you have more people that want to buy permits than permits are available? Is it a first come, first serve?
Exactly. It's exactly what you just said right there. First come, first serve until the allotted number of permits are exhausted, and then you won't be able to acquire one through the system.
Okay, so let me keep going with that. Mm-hmm. So if you find out that the permit I want, there are no more available, how fast will it be rejected so you can possibly apply for a permit in a different zone?
Well, you're going through an e-permit portal, and so if there are no permits available of that type, it'll either, I assume, be grayed out or not accessible. And so I can talk to the T2 our vendor to make sure I haven't seen that yet, so I'll have to talk to our vendor about what exactly it looks like. But I do know that we have them all programmed, because I did the programming work on the back end, that they have those caps and they're set at those limits. And so once those get exhausted, my assumption is then that it gets grayed out as not available for that zone. So
you want to apply for another zone as soon as
possible. It's still going to, yeah, you would still be able to do that through the same e-permit interface.
Okay.
So say 20 days in, you go in and you go, I want a zone A permit, and you go into e-permitting, and zone A is grayed out because they're all exhausted, but there's a zone C permit available. That would be an option for you to get right then and there.
Okay. Then, so you definitely said it's first come, first serve. So if you get all the permits are sold, you don't get one this month. There's no, the people that applied that there's no permits available for, are they going to have a priority the following month, or it's just strictly?
They'd have to come in and check first come, first serve if you know, our thresholds drop below the cap and all of a sudden there's some permits available, they would just pop back up as available in the system.
So our seasonal employees, if they come in May, all of May are exhausted, right? And I mean, I guess they would have to pay to park or
pay $1 an hour for 4 hours.
Right.
Or go up to the upper lot.
Huh?
Or go to the upper lot.
Yeah, because that's a fun hill to walk up after working 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. That's a fun hill to walk up after twelve hours a day being on your feet.
Okay. No, I agree with you, John, but that is part of the problem with especially down in the Suremi Inn, where the employees came in, because when I had my t-shirt shop down there,
yeah,
7 o'clock morning, all the spaces are full.
Right. Well, we won't have to worry about that this year. So there'll be a few. We're not running Suremi plant this year, so there will only be a few people working in the office.
Oh, things are that good.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Well, remember on the zone C and D, zone, you know, those offer an annual permit option as well.
Okay, which is another question. Those take up one of the spots, so
yep.
could you possibly sell out of annual permits so that no monthly permits are available in those zones? The potential's there. It's still a
the potential's factor. There. I would caution this. We're at 475 through the standard interface, and then the rest are commercial fishing ones. Those are all free courtesy permits. My sense is that there's going to be a meaningful percentage of those folks who don't buy permits at all because they don't want to pay the money. I mean, it's easy to get a free permit, but when it comes to actually having to pay a monthly fee, there are going to be some who choose, you know, for their own reasons not to do that.
And park up in the other free lots.
Right. The map shows the areas where there's no fee. I mean,
right, up by La Roca.
I mean, you can, well, about halfway up Canyon Way, about the same up Hatfield, and then you've got, Herbert, which is its own little, which was left free as well, which is, I don't know, got about, 28 spaces in there too, so.
Okay, so if I'm looking at this, when you say halfway up Canyon Way.
Just at the end of the Canyon Way lot. North end of the Canyon Way lot. Anything above that on Canyon Way is no fee.
Right. So that's a big lot up there across the street from La Roca, kind of. And the city.
Well, that's even further up. But yeah, that's the what we call the Herbert lot. It's 48 spaces there.
And the City Hall lot
will be available.
And
that's quite a bit further.
Well, it's more down. So what happened?
Or Hatfield, on Hatfield Drive, it basically from the retaining wall upslope. There's that small retaining wall there on Hatfield. So from that point up is no charge.
Is there any contingency plan by the city that if those free lots get overloaded, are they going to turn into pay for park? Or are they going to stay free?
There are no plans to change anything on the city parking lot or the public ones up here by City Hall and by La Roca. We have no plans to do anything up there. No contingency plans. When it comes to the caps on the permits, that's a discussion if they're to be adjusted, we'd have to have with the advisory committee. I mean, we set the limits, we're going out, we'll see how the program works, and we can make adjustments if we need to make adjustments.
I mean, we all realize it's going to be first come serve, first come on a permit, and
yeah.
It's going to be whoever gets there earliest in the morning gets the parking spot, but...
Yeah.
It's a hunting permit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and the enforcement does not start until 11 a.m., is that correct?
The 11 to 7 is the regulatory time frame when you would expect enforcement to be there. And so we have a 4-hour limit.
And the 4-hour limit starts at 11? We've kind of run around that one before.
We have, and you'd be careful, it depends on, you know, where we're at, but, you know, I think the point is, the focus of the parking regulations is during the peak periods from 11 to 7. We don't have to worry about 2 a.m. because 2 a.m. is not a parking congestion time frame. Parking enforcement officer who's online, I mean, he's going to be running through during those daytime hours.
Okay, so I'm just... So that we can give everyone a clear picture. It's going to say you've got to pay to park from 11 to 7 for 4 hours. What if they get there at 8 in the morning? I think you mentioned before that you can program the meters or you don't have to start paying until 11. But when does their 4 hours start ticking for not getting a ticket for being in a spot for more than 4 hours? If I'm making sense, they get there. 9 o'clock in the morning, okay, fine, they don't have to pay till 11.
Well, a lot of what we have on Bay Boulevard is 4 hours, and it's paid parking from 11 to 7, but it's still a four-hour limitation. What I'm trying to convey to you is it's not subject to enforcement. This is a function of the limitations of what you can do on a sign. It's not going to be enforced at 2 in the morning. And at 8 in the morning, if somebody shows up and they know, you know, that they're going to have to pay at 11, I mean, they can go out and pay at 11, or they can even do that on their phone potentially with the text to park. So there are things they can do to address that.
They won't have to physically go out and pay. They can do it on their phone.
So, Donald, do you have anything else you want to add in terms of your enforcement practices down there?
Not at this time, unless something changes and that comes down from the chief or the lieutenant about it, but do what the signs say, and I go from there.
So you're principally going to be down there in that 11 to 7 window, right?
Correct.
And this is Robert Eamon. Just to be clear, I don't think you're not chalking them. If they're parked at 8 a.m., they're not getting counted that time because you're not even there, so you wouldn't know they were there until 11. So that's technically when the 4 hours is going to, well, not technically, but practically when the 4 hours is going to start, when you appear.
So as my schedule sits right now, I'll still be out doing stuff. I just won't start the timed enforcement until 11. But if someone else, if there's still other parking violations, like people double parking or parking in a handicapped spot without a placard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that is still something that can be enforced upon. It's just the time parking will not start until 11.
You heard it from the one who's yeah.
Yeah, because doing the work. If the sign says it's enforced at 11, they shouldn't be penalized if they're there before that because it's not clear. So that's fine. If it starts at 11, then my question is answered. Thank you.
I have a question that she brought up that interesting. on area B and D.
Yep. Okay,
how many courtesy besides the Fisherman Unlimited are going to be issued there?
110B and
110B
and 110D. 110 so you're 220 total.
Okay, 110. And B and C would be another 110?
C is 140.
And unlimited commercial fishing ones.
Remember, commercial fishing, though, is limited to zones B and D.
D, that's what I meant, D.
Right.
Yeah.
A and C are the west side.
So B and... Yeah, I got confused on there. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Zone B and D.
Right.
Commercial fishing. How many in Zone D?
Zone D, we're going to make just standard e-permits, 110 available.
Okay. Courtesy permits?
Paid permits. And Zone B will have 110 paid permits.
Gotcha.
And then you'd have, on top of that, however many commercial fishing permits are secured.
How many spaces are in those two spots?
You've got about... You got 107 spaces in Zone B and another 86 in Zone D. Okay. And then you actually have a fair amount of unrestricted from the port admin building to England Marine.
Right.
That would still be available, just a little further over. Right. And, you know, and again, you know, commercial fishing folks have port property on top of that.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you know, so you got to...
I have one question, maybe comment, and one question. The question is, or the comment is, I'd like to throw my name in the hat for the next, sound like when I walked in, you're looking for more.
Committee members?
Committee members, yeah. I mean, we don't have anybody in processing on it right now. You know, we have 300 plus employees on the Bayfront, and we're not represented at all. I don't think anybody from processing is for the Bayfront, right? It's kind of the engine that drives Newport and Lincoln County, and we're not represented by one person. And there's been a lot of changes that we haven't been involved in. So, yeah, I'd like to be on that for sure.
Certainly, John, we'll make sure that you get an opportunity to apply, and so that absolutely.
Yeah,
I do want to emphasize though, and you know, Sharon was a very active member as we developed the parking study through the adoption of the parking study. And a lot of what's on, majority of what's on here is consistent with that
right.
study's recommendation.
But I believe she dropped out in 2020. It's been 4 years.
When COVID hit, everything kind of fell
right.
apart.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a couple-year break.
We had a couple-year break because of COVID.
Right, I get it. I'm just saying there's been a lot of decisions made in the last, it feels like to me, maybe it's just my perception that's not correct, a lot of decisions have been made in the last 4 years without any input from anybody in processing. Mm-hmm. Represent 300 people. I know I'm only allowed 3 minutes, but it's really 900, right? So, kidding. but yeah, and then you did answer one for the free parking spot. You know, if there's any plans of making, you know, phase two or three, whatever, those free parking spots right now, eventually paid to park. So, but that's been answered. So, we're good.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the city center area, a lot of that will. What happens in the city center area is going to come out of the work we're going to be firing up here shortly on the revitalization planning effort. And you know, we're looking at trying to pull together millions of dollars to kind of rework how 101 functions so that we can actually get some reinvestment in city center.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't expect any changes to how the parking's managed until some of those other pieces fall in place.
Right.
Okay.
I think you should get John on the committee.
Or somebody, possibly. It could be somebody from Bornstein's, like nobody from Bornstein, Hallmark, Seawater, Pacific Seafood, on down is on it.
Well, Pacific Seafood has the biggest employer on the Bayfront.
Yeah.
Should have representation.
Sure.
In my opinion.
And I'm not saying, we all understand that we all know that there's an issue on the Bayfront, right? I'm not saying there's not, but just... some input, you know, I mean, we have a lot of low income minorities that work for us that can't afford parking. And now we're asking 60-year-old people to walk up and down the hills. Like, it's just, I don't know the answer. I'm just saying it's a concern.
Well, John, another thing, and, you know, Sharon will call this from our discussions when we were doing the study, and it's reflected in the study, and is that as we get this up and running, and we have a revenue stream to support the parking program down there, we can certainly revisit the, you know, subsidized van pool, carpool program.
Okay, that'd be great.
Because I know you guys already,
I didn't know, right?
You guys already do that, as it was my understanding, you already do that to a point.
We've done it in the past when we had off-site housing.
Right.
You know, we had two or three shuttles just spinning back and forth, you know,
right.
Dropping people off, picking people off, and we thought about doing that, but then there's a liability issue. There's all this other stuff that goes with it, right? We got to hire a driver, and good luck finding that, and the CDL guy. Like, there's just a lot of challenges, but
right.
we're looking at that right now too, as well, for the free parking, just spinning people back. So,
yep. Because that was the discussions with have either subsidized carpool, hand pool, or rapid tourism transit. They're different. They meet different demands, they have different cycles, they have different cost factors, but both of those are in play down the road once we actually have a revenue stream that could impact on one way or the other.
Well, I think one thing is, you know, a lot of the stuff's been tried in the past,
yep.
It failed, but we didn't have paid parking. Now that people are gonna have to pay, the incentive to get something like that up running more is gonna be higher.
That's an excellent point.
You know?
Yeah, see, counter to that is, I mean, we're short on workforce anyways, and oh, by the way, you have to
I'm not just talking about
work,
you guys,
you know,
I'm
so.
Talking about hotels and stuff like that,
right.
You know.
But yeah, I agree.
I think you're going to see, you know, now that we have paid parking, where the hotels especially say, hey, that's going to be part of our service, to shuttle people down to the Bayfront, so one, they don't have to drive down. They have to pay the parking for the main thing.
Right. No, I hear you.
You know, I think you're going to see more of a push for that. Where before there was no incentive.
Right.
There was no incentive to have it. It was tried, didn't work because there was no incentive.
That's all I got.
Well, John and Sharon, we do also appreciate you coming in, and we do, we'll, you know, if you could share your insights as you work through this with your folks, because
sure.
I know you're dealing with this as everybody else is.
Yep, and we talked about, you know, reimbursing employees, but we only want to open that can of worms, right? Because mm-hmm. we'd have to hire somebody to manage that, and, you know. But, no, we appreciate the time. And
thank you for entertaining our questions.
For sure.
We were not on your agenda.
Oh, no, that's fair, absolutely fair. So does anybody else have anything for the good of the order?
Don's been doing a great job educating us too, by the way. So, thank you.
For only giving us warnings.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not gonna flip over a scooter.
No, he's good. We like Don.
All right, then I think that's all we have. Meeting's adjourned. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.